the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas without any data to back that up. Bringing you the latest in all sports news from KCAC to AAC to the NBA to the NFL to the NCAA. You get all of that right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. Check on to it. It is the A-Train. Picking up passengers along the way. Today we have a special guest. Welcome into the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. As I always say, it is Kansas' number one podcast. Now, I have no proven data to back that up, but I'll tell you what makes it number one. Those of you who take the time to listen, and of course, those who I get to pick up and take along the train ride. And this train is picking up a passenger today. He is head coach of the Derby High School Panther Lady Panthers. And if you haven't seen them play, you need to get out and see them girls play. They play defense like defense is supposed to be played. A little background on Coach Chadwick. He coached under Lane Lord at Wichita Heights back in the day, but he does not look like he's that old. He's still like he has the fountain of youth. So I'm going to welcome aboard the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. I can honestly say my good friend and brother, Coach Chadwick. Coach.
They say good black don't crack, so we're gonna roll with that one.
we definitely rolling with that one down the tracks this morning. So off the heels of a 70-32 win, and it started out 17-15. Of course, I couldn't get there for the beginning because, you know, coming down Rock Road, you get caught up in that traffic, and you get caught by the same light at least five times. That tells me either that light is tricky or the people in front of you don't know how to drive. So game started out.
It's a little bit of both. Yeah. A little bit of both. But it was a rocky game for us in the beginning. We're coming off of four games in the last 8 days.
Uh-huh.
So we did a Salina trip on Friday, another Salina trip on Tuesday, went to Hutch Thursday, and then we played at home for only like the second or third time. So our girls are kind of tired, and we didn't know how to play at home. So it took a couple of prodding timeouts, and once we got going, it was a good time.
Yeah, because one of the things I noticed is an 18-0 run as part of a 29-2 second quarter. And you had at least 12 players scored, led by Destiny Smith, who finished 4 three-pointers and 16 points. Tell me a little bit about the makeup of your team there.
Well, the makeup of my team, talking about Destiny, she was a quiet leader last night because I didn't realize she had 16. But she's usually the one that gets the brunt of my attention because she has to make sure we're in all of our defensive sets, and she's got to run my team. On her flanks, we have Madison Smith and Kyler Damel, and both of those girls are doing excellent as far as being defensive stoppers or being glue people for our team. Then we have Michaela Askew, who's a sophomore who's really taken off and really tearing up this league, just rebounding and shooting and playing really great basketball. She makes some passes that make people say, wow. And then we rounded off with Jaden Wilson, who is our defensive rebounder, our leader as far as doing the little things right. And then, you know, we play, like you said, we play 12 girls. I have a lot of young ones that get in the mix. I have Callie Rickers and Malia and Carson, who are my juniors. And then I have a freshman, Asia Fox, and then Carly Damel, who is Kyler's little sister, getting in the mix as well. And we've been getting Sade Jackson a little playing time as well. We have a chance because we play really great defense to get a lot of girls in the game.
So if I'm looking at this right, I believe you had a starting lineup, and I kept my notes and kept a pen so I could mark this stuff down. you had Destiny Smith, which is your team leader there. She's a senior, 5'8" senior. And you had Madison Smith, who's also a 5'8" senior. Now, I can almost assume that they're sisters. I'm assuming.
No, they're not.
They're not, okay.
No, but they are really best friends, and they both just committed to Butler last night.
Butler County, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had the Wilson girls, Natalie and Jaden Wilson. And, of course, you mentioned Michaela Askew, sophomore. Mm-hmm. So you have a lineup of, what, three seniors, if I'm looking at this right?
Four seniors
and a sophomore.
Yeah, Damel starts. Natalie Wilson doesn't start. Kylie.
Okay, Kyler Damel.
Carly Damel starts, yes. And then we have Jaden Wilson. Jaden and Natalie are not related. They just have the same last name, common last name. But, yeah, we go four seniors and a sophomore. But they play hard because they know if they give us a great start, they're going to get a break because they trust their second group.
And you're right.
The second group works their tails off.
And that was the thing that blew me away when the second group came in. They were just as relentless defensively as the first group, as I tweeted out. I guess we're just going to say X out because we don't say Twitter no more. But as I X'd out, I'm like, this team is just, the second unit is just as a ball hawking defensive unit as the first team. And then when you got down to the other underclassmen, they didn't let up. And it seemed like your team has that camaraderie, as everybody looks for, you know, that team chemistry, and everybody just enjoys playing for each other.
Yes, they're starting to get it. It started this summer when I first got the job. We kind of told them what we wanted to do, and we spent a lot of time together in the summer. We watched them grow in the summer, going to weights programs with us, going to tournaments with us. It wasn't easy, just trying to get them to do the different things that we want them to do and playing the way we want to play, because nobody else really plays that way. So we just took a page from Lane and I's playbook a long time ago, and I used some of Joe Auer's tactics, and we decided to press and trap and make some stuff easy, you know, making layups are easy at times. And if you can get everybody to buy into defense, which we have, it's really fun, and you can get a lot of kids playing.
Absolutely. So when I got there, the first thing I noticed, the gym is almost packed for the girls' game. And then I walked around the corner, and I'm here, I'm like, okay, what's going on? And it's the JV boys playing in the other gym. And all I can say is, when I looked up at the scoreboard, all I can say is, ouch, 42-8? And then when I get to the girls' game is when I notice the large margin. I'm like, Derby is just as serious about their basketball as they are their football.
So Coach Flory's doing a great job of creating that culture. I was his middle school coach for almost five years, and he really wanted us to build that program. So we did that through our camps. We did that through our just playing our unity game at the high school. And so when I got the girls' job, we did the same thing. We got camps going. We had our unity game for our two middle schools at the high school. And we're trying to make everybody in Derby want to grab a basketball as well as a football.
Absolutely. Well, I believe the future is very bright. Now, Derby has traditionally produced some pretty decent, good women basketball players that have gone on to the next level. And you just mentioned you had a couple that signed with Butler County. How do you see this program in the future, and as far as producing NCAA Division I type talent?
As we all know, that's really tough. That's really tough because you got to have a special type of family, a special type of girl, a special type of athlete that wants to take it to that next step. So we see it coming. We just got to keep working, and it really depends on how hard we all are willing to work in the summer. I know the future's bright. We probably have two more young ladies that may get a chance to play some college ball. I know that Kyler Damel is going to go play softball at Butler because she's a heck of a softball player.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Wilson has some things on her horizon, and we don't know about the other ones. They may get a chance. But we're going to see some really great things from our young ladies down the road because this program is just going to keep growing and keep going as far as basketball. And when we get the shot clock into what we do, it's just going to be really fun and fast.
I'm glad you mentioned the shot clock. We're going to get to that. But I got to ask this question. You said you coached under Lane Lord. So what was it that spurred you to get into coaching the ladies' basketball as opposed to coaching the men's basketball? Who were some of your coaching influences? And I also want to throw this name out. Was Daryl Smith one, because that was the first men's man to coach women's basketball at WSU.
Yes, no, I know Coach Smith. When I was with Lane, he got to know us really well because he was recruiting a couple of our girls when I coached with Lane. Lane's a great friend of mine. He actually introduced my wife, Joanna, and I to each other when I was coaching girls basketball with him. He had to have a procedure, and so I had to coach both games. And I told him, I said, Lane, you got to find out who that young lady is. I got to meet her. And he took care of that for me. But I coached with Lane for about 7 years. And then I coached with Joe Auer on the boys' side at Wichita Heights and had a great opportunity to win 4 state titles with him. One of my track coaches, Steve Crosley, was always around, and he's a great mentor for me. Talking to Coach Eck back in the day, he would always say, hey, if you're going to coach girls basketball, know if you really want to do it, because they may pigeonhole you to do it. But I got a great opportunity in, like, 2014 to go coach at Wichita Northwest to be the boys' coach. And it was great. I met a lot of great people. Steve Martin was always great to me.
Okay.
Chris Lambert, the baseball coach, was a great person, great friend for me. Jim Myrna was always a good friend. He was on my staff the last year with me. Les Dekinger helped me out a lot as an AD. It just didn't work out for me. So I got a chance to go back and coach middle school ball, like I said, with Coach Flory, and I got to coach my two younger boys, and that was a great experience for me because I got to coach my oldest when he was at Northwest, and then I got to help them grow as basketball players as well. I got to see my middle child, Cooper, go play in the state games for Derby last year, and that was great. And now we have our sophomore, Gavin, playing at Derby. I don't get to see his games as much because they play at the same time because he's part of that JV team, but it's really good to hear the basketball games afterwards. You know, we always have conversations at home about basketball, but coaching girls is really no different than coaching boys. Our girls play basketball, and that's all we do. We teach basketball. I don't have to dumb it down. I don't have to change anything. I'm coaching basketball because these are basketball players.
Right. So let me ask you this question. Once again, we're talking with Coach Chadwick, Derby girls basketball coach, the Lady Panthers, High Octane. Who, outside of Lane Lord and, of course, Joe Auer, who are some of your other coaching people, some of the coaches that you looked up to, whether it be at the high school level, the college level, even a WNBA level, who are some of the coaches that you look up to and try to pattern some of your styles after?
Well, I'm a huge Rick Pitino fan. Rick Pitino fan. I know he's got some baggage behind him, but if you're talking defensive X and O's and you're talking about high octane, that's what we want to be like. I love Dawn Staley and what she's bringing to the women's game, and you have to be a fan of Gino at UConn because he's been there forever and
yes.
The longevity and what he does for the game. And everybody that I've talked about are coaching basketball. They're not worried about who they are. I started reading the book from Pat Summitt last summer, and she just talked about coaching basketball. She probably could have coached the Tennessee men, and they would have won a title just the way she coached people. And we're starting to coach them the right way. We're not worried about numbers. We're not worried about this and that, egos. We're trying to build relationships, and then they will do anything for us.
And you just mentioned something. You said coach them the right way, which brings me to a good, valid point, because I was looking at a video clip of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I'm pretty sure everybody knows who that guy is.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a statement that said that, you know, especially the interior guys, he said they're not being taught the game right. Nobody wants to back anyone down. He said everybody wants to shoot from the stratosphere. And at that time when he said that, they showed a clip of Steph Curry. Of course, you know, shooting half-court three-point shots. So when you said coach them the right way, I'm pretty sure you even teach your bigs, look, sometimes you have to back the person down and play the game the way the game was meant to be played. Your thoughts on that?
Well, what we tell our bigs, you have to have a counter move. You got to have a power move, and then you have a counter move. And then sometimes we use the word that people don't like. You got to be a bully. That means you got to back somebody down. And that's just old school basketball. We do mic and drills to teach them to get the ball in the glass. We do power layups so they can understand you got to get the ball and you got to power it up. We teach the drop step, which I think a lot of people forgot about. We just really, and we try to teach all of our players that. We want all of our players to be well-rounded, but we do make sure our big girls, I hate to say it like that, but our post players play the right way. You got to be tough inside.
Absolutely. So, Coach, this is going to be my last question for you, and I want you to really promote it. Tell us one good reason why people should get out and support women athletics.
Women athletics are changing, Mr. Smith. They're changing to a point where you see crowds and crowds of people watching them in college, crowds and crowds of people going to the WNBA games. And it starts here at the ground roots. It starts at the high schools. It starts at the little levels. We got younger teams playing. I coach for the Padres, and we're creating a buzz for young girls in basketball. And, you know, we have LaToya Randall doing her Pretty Rock basketball stuff, and that's incredible for our young ladies. We got so many different ways for young girls to be empowered and to show them that they can do anything in the world with sports. You know, we used to always tell our boys that. Now we're telling our girls that, and they have so many opportunities. When we took our son to college 4 years ago, they had flag football, and I'm like, wow, they have college flag football. We don't have flag football around here. It's time to have it around here so we can have our girls do more sports. Give them more opportunities, not just softball, not just volleyball. Let them try everything. They get shunned when it's time for them to play football. Let's have flag football. Let's do basketball. Let's stop saying it's girls or men's basketball and just call it basketball. These young ladies can play.
They can.
And everybody needs to get out and watch them.
Absolutely. So you heard it from Coach Chadwick of why it is important to get out and support women's athletics. And like you said, stop differentiating. It reminds me of music. We separate all these different music, but it's all the same language. Basketball, once the ball is thrown up and that clock starts ticking, it's all the same game.
All the same.
So, Coach, yes, I want to thank you once again for taking the ride on the A-Train. And we're going to do this again. Maybe next time we do this, your team will be hoisting up a state title trophy. So,
thank you. I appreciate it, Mr. Smith. Thank you for your
appreciate
time.
Appreciate you. Wish you the best of luck the rest of the season. Once again, Coach Chadwick, Derby Girls High School Basketball Coach. I will be right back after a word from my sponsor right here on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Appreciate my guest. I mean, it has been wonderful. We also got scores to get to. Also, we have player spotlight. No, it's not a basketball player, but it's a player spotlight. Got Kaysen Messenger coming up from Cheney Cardinals. You know, that undefeated football team. That's right. We got him coming up here shortly. So it is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. We got scores to give you. So don't you go nowhere. I will be right back after words from my sponsor. So keep it right here. Seatbelt on. Stay seated until the ride is done.
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the Glass Man?
Hey, Glass Man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the Glass Man.
Hey, Glass Man.
The Glass Man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, Glass Man.
Bring your vehicle to the Glass Man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
You're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. Welcome into the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. As I always say, the state's number one podcast I don't know if that's true or not. I really don't. But I keep saying it's number one because I pick up some pretty good guests. And this next guest I have, for Player Spotlight, resides in the town of Cheney. But don't laugh at that, because in Cheney they produce football programs. And this program, all they did was did what some didn't think could be done. They knocked off a team that had a long winning streak in Andale. This next guest of mine, he played for that team. Not only did they do it once, they did it twice, became 3-8 state champions, and he was a focal part of that team. I'm talking about none other than Mr. Kason Messenger. Sir, welcome aboard the A Train Sports Talk Podcast. How are you doing on a chilly Saturday afternoon?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I appreciate you being on here, and I'm always honored to have you guys on. And looking back over the season, at what point did you guys realize that y'all had something special going? Was it prior to the Andale game, or was it the Andale game after y'all beat them the first time?
I would definitely have to say it was in that summer, because all growing up, we kind of like had a goal of winning the state championship. But in that summer, I mean, everyone was just so bought in and so like devoted to beating Andale, we all just kind of knew.
So Andale was basically the measuring stick that everybody measured themselves by, and to be able to beat them, it was just, I mean, the first time y'all beat them, what was the rush of emotion like?
Oh, there was a lot of emotions. I mean, we were pretty crazy about that game, and that practice, that week of practice before that, we were, I mean, flying around screaming, just full speed, 100%, and our coaches did an amazing job of getting us prepared for that game, because it was a lot of, I mean, they're a tough team, but it was a lot of mental toughness when going against a team that good. So,
absolutely. Looking at some of the things that are being said about you, and we noticed that you signed with Missouri Southern. They say that a versatile defender who can play multiple positions with the ability to play anywhere in the front seven. But if you had to pick and choose, what would be your most dominant position on the defensive side of the ball?
I would say as like an edge rusher, like as defensive end, outside linebacker, maybe in the 3-4, but just kind of as a pass rusher right on the edge. So,
okay. Now, I know it seems like I'm talking a lot about the Andale-Cheney game, but a lot of people are saying that Andale, prior to that game, they could just line it up. You knew what they was going to do, and they would out-physical people. But the word has it that Cheney was actually the more physical and dominant team, you know, between the two of y'all. So would you say that y'all were a very physical, dominating team, and then y'all were able to take them away from their game plan?
Yeah, and I think that was a lot of it was just that summer before. I mean, everyone got so much bigger and stronger, and we're definitely, you know, we're a spread offense and pretty fast, but I mean, we had a lot of guys that just really wanted it, because you just got to line up and play football when they're going against Andale, because they know what they're going to do, you know, but you just got to stop it, and that's a lot of mental toughness there too. So,
all right, I got to ask you this question, because I know about you being a high school football player, you watched some college football, and I'm pretty sure you watched the NFL. So I'm going to ask this question.
Yeah.
You would be the first one I actually asked this question to. Are you a fan of the, I'm going to call it, the brotherly love push?
The tush push.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of I don't have a problem with it. I'm not a fan of the Eagles, but it works pretty well, and honestly, yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
All right. And the reason I asked that question, because now I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, so don't hold that against me, okay? But there was some talk going around that move ought to be banned, and Micah Parsons, defensive performer that he is at a high level, someone that size and that quick, that's kind of scary. He can chase down Tyreek Hill almost.
Yes.
But he says that move should not be banned. He said as defensive players, it's your job to stop it. He said, it's not for the league to stop. It's for you playing defense to stop it. So to hear you say that, it kind of lines up with what Micah Parsons say. Now, let me ask this question. What is the outlook for Cheney football? Because you guys going out, y'all pretty much laid the groundwork. So what can we expect from Cheney football moving forward? Are there any underclassmen that's ready to take the baton and run with it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, we're bringing back almost our entire offensive line, which is big time in any team.
Right.
And we quarterback Josh Burdick, who's a stud, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Braden Dibble is a transfer from Garden City. So he used to go to Cheney, and he had a transfer to Garden City, and he's back. And he's just a stud offensive playmaker. And, I mean, the team is just filled with dogs. And Nolan Durr, who's a young defensive lineman, and he'll be a big-time player. But I think it's I think they definitely can. Like, they're not going to be a bad team. They'll be a great team, you know, no matter what. But to get back to a state championship, I think it just kind of depends on, you know, how hard, how bad they want it. But I truly think they can do it again. They'll be pretty good.
So do you think that they can possibly – go on a streak of what y'all just broke from another team?
I think that would be pretty hard. That was a really long streak, but I think there's a lot of hopefully that all the younger generations of Cheney can kind of see what we did and see how faith-based we were and how bought in we were, that if they do that, I 100% believe that they can go on a streak like that, but they have to be really bought in and really want it.
And you just mentioned something that caught my attention. You said something about faith-based. So just how much does your faith play a role in you playing the game of football?
I think that, I mean, without God, we have no football. We have nothing in life. And it's hard to, like, not get caught up in all of the social media and all of that. But, like, all glory has to go to God, you know? And in our team this year, we prayed so much, and all of it was just, I feel like everyone on our team had so much faith in God. And even Coulter McDaniel, one of our players, led a team prayer with both teams after every single game in the middle of the field. And you could just feel the energy around our football team that we were just so bought in, but we all had so much faith in God that I 100% knew that we were going all the way.
In other words, the mantra could have easily been, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
Yes, sir.
It would be safe to say he gave y'all the strength to overcome a lot of obstacles and bring that state trophy back to Cheney, Kansas, where it belonged. Now, I'm going to ask a couple more questions, and I'm going to let you enjoy your Saturday. First question is, you played football for a long time.
Of course, not
as long as I've been living, but you played for a long time. So what were some other sports you played, and what was it that got you to playing football and decided that football was your major sport?
Well, so I started playing football in about third grade, and I was a pretty big kid growing up. I was always a lot bigger than everyone else. And I also played baseball. I did travel baseball. I made a lot of friends through that. And I played basketball. And I wasn't great at baseball, so that kind of just, like, left me in, like, seventh grade, kind of stopped doing that. But always played basketball with my friends, but I think football was just, I just loved hitting people. And I just, every, like, when we play Little League on Saturdays, it's always been my favorite sport. And I was a lot bigger than other kids, and we've kind of had the same football team since we were really young, so all of our friends have been all playing together. So yeah.
All right, well, I'm looking at some of your clips here. How did you enjoy playing in the snow game?
Oh my. that was crazy. I've never ever played in snow before. I played in a little bit of rain, but I've never played in snow before. So we were all really, really wanting it to snow because, like, you know, senior year, state championship, like, snow game would be perfect time for a snow game. And it was awesome. Like, I wouldn't trade it for anything, but it was not the greatest playing conditions. It was pretty slow. You know, you had to really pick up your feet, or else you just wipe out. But it was pretty fun. It was fun.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for spending time on the train ride. As I always say, the state's number one podcast, and what makes it number one are those who listen to it at the time they listen to it, because that, at that time, it's number one. But even more importantly, to have my guest on. And I want to do a double congrats right here. Congrats to Jackson Vogt and Kason Messenger for being selected to play in the 2024 Shrine Bowl. Cheney is lucky enough to have two players participating in this prestigious event that is for a great cause. So go out there, tear it up. Once again, congratulations on being selected to play in the Kansas Shrine Bowl, and we wish you the best of luck in your next chapter playing for Missouri Southern. Once again, my guest on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, state champion winner, Kason Messenger. Thank you, sir. Absolutely. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take me another break right here. I am just having such a blast with my guest on here. We still have Full Court Press giving you some of the scores from across South Central Kansas. And there were some good games. Also, an upset was in the makings last night. All that and more coming up on A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, Full Court Press, right here. So don't you go nowhere. This train is still building up ahead of steam on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. Just having fun doing what we do. Be right back.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P, is fully stocked for all your grocery needs. We carry the largest selection of hot links in Wichita, including the world-famous Oklahoma links from Mountain View and Rogers, Kansas links from Yoder, Colorado links from Gold Star, as well as national brands such as Siegel and Dietz. Our meat department stocks ribs, pork butts, pork chops, brisket, hams, chicken, hamburger meat, oxtails, buffalo fish, whole catfish and fillets, and much more. In season, we stock hard-to-find produce such as red, yellow, orange, and purple meat, watermelon, cantaloupe, melons, tomatoes, corn, greens, okra, and more. We have a huge selection of fish fry, seasonings, sauces, and rubs, including the full lines of Louisiana and Slap Ya Mama products. In addition, we have all grocery staples including flour, sugar, bread, butter, cheese, snacks, milk, canned goods, candy, snacks, and drinks.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, the state's number one podcast. Yes, I keep saying that. I know some may differ, but you know what? I'm just having fun doing what I'm doing. Picking up passengers along the way, taking them down the track, and they trust me. Right now, it's time for Full Court Press, where I give you the scores. I used to be able to give y'all the scores from Catchit, Kansas, but for some reason, I have not been able to pull up the scores on there. So we go to Vipe, and all the scores across state are not listed, but there's enough of them to keep you informed what's going around in this area, in the South Central area, so to speak. Of course, we want to say thank you to Joanna Chadwick. By the way, That was her husband, you heard in the first segment on the Coach's Corner, coach of the Derby High School Lady Panthers basketball team. And if you haven't seen them play, you need to get out and see those girls play. They get after it. They're so relentless on defense. You get worn out just sitting in the stands watching them. Like, you feel like if you're going to the concession stand, you have to get through them to get there. That's how good the defense they play. So, hats off to that basketball team and that victory last night. And, of course, Coach Chadwick is the husband of the writer of this, giving us these scores. So between him coaching and her giving her insight on games that were played last night, they got the basketball world on lockdown. So we want to appreciate Joanna Chadwick for her hard work. So without further ado, let's go ahead and give you these scores. As we look at the boys versus Andover, put up 86 points in their win over Goddard by the score of 86-66. Andover was led by Blake Rucker, who scored a game high 25 points, Josh Kim with 21, and Owen Allman 12. Goddard's Davis had 19, Rogers 16, and Sale 12. Arc City 63, Valley Center 60, as Arc City's Colin Frazier scored 16 points and had 11 rebounds in the win. And Aiden Brantley scored 14, while Wyatt Dickey added 10. Bueller 60, Augusta 59, Caldwell 58, West Elk 41. West Elk's Uriah Tillipaw scored 13, Martin Shipley 13, and Garrett Usry 10. Campus 65, Salina 39, Circle 65, Mulvane 59. Landon Boldra led all scores with 27 points for Circle. Manny Myers had 26 for Mulvane. So those two guys were putting on a scoring exhibition in that game. Conway Springs 62, Bell Plain 40. Taylor White scored a game high 22 points for Conway Springs, but it just wasn't enough as they came up short. Game that I had the privilege of being in attendance, Derby 71, Newton 35. And everything that is explained in this particular part of the article right here is true. I was there to witness it. Derby hit its first 9 shots of the game, 7 threes, and jumped out to a 25-4 lead. Derby was led by Mason Anderson, 13 points, Mason Boo, 11, and Cohen Kotas, 11, as 11 players scored. Boo and Kotas each had 3 3-pointers. Yes, it was raining threes in Derby last night. As a matter of fact, Newton only had 6 points after the first quarter. Derby, I believe, had 31. At that rate, you do the math. The score should have been, by all accounts, if you go on averages, if Derby is putting up 31 points a quarter, that was, well, over 100 points right there. At the rate Newton was going, they would have barely cracked 18 points. But Newton did put up a little gallant effort to make it as reasonable as possible. But in the end, the score was still 71-35. Some of the things I noticed, Newton was playing more longer ball possessions. And I imagine they were doing that to keep, you know, score at least somewhat reasonable. Because like I say, at the rate it was going, it could have been a whole lot worse. But hats off to Derby. And I'm also going to get Demetri Williams on here eventually. I believe the problem with this team, plain and simple, is they are just outmatched, especially in the paint. They were outmatched. So, and Derby, just like their girls game, the boys, they play a very relentless in-your-face style of defense. And since, like I say, my opinion is they pretty much overmatched and overpowered Newton. With Newton, I think they just have to get a little bit more length and a little bit more athleticism. They do have a point guard worth mentioning, though. If it seems like I'm spending a lot of time here, I am. But Newton actually had a point guard, I believe, in Maddox Williams, who's just a sophomore. And I believe in time he will be a name that you will remember, especially under the tutelage of one Dimitri Williams, who coaches that team out there in Newton. So it's just a matter of Newton just getting a little bit more length on them, a little bit more athleticism, and I think they will be fine under Coach Williams. Anyway, as we move along, once again, congratulations to Derby on the win last night. More scores to give you. Eisenhower 59, Salina Central 53. That game went into overtime as Eisenhower's Pierce Blue scored 24 and Chase George 14 in the win. Salina Central's Thomas McClendon had a team high 14, and Dez Gibson and Caden Snyder each scored 10. Gosso 50, Harrington 45, Hillsborough 58, Halstead 46, Capen, coached by the legend Steve X, 73, Bishop Carroll 59, Lyons 61, Nickerson 45, Mays 49, Hutch 40, Mays' Alec Grill, another Grill coming along, scored 15, Braden Maiavella 12, and Allen Hanna 11 in the win. Terrell King had 12, Jax Hanea 11 for Hutchison. Mays South still undefeated, 66, Andover Central 47. I believe it was Pink Night at Mays South. Andover Central's Jace Jefferson scored 13 and Brody DeGarmo 10. I don't have no scoring leaders for Mays South, but I am told that what's his name? Michael Cates. I heard he put on the show with three threes in a row. So we know he did his thing. We know Mays South as a whole did their thing, maintain their undefeated season. So keep an eye on them, because this is the month of February, so you know what happens come March. McPherson 73, Winfield 32. Ouch. Mountain Ridge 72, Hutch Trinity 47. Mountain Ridge's Bear Mog scored 17 points. I know I butchered that name. Creighton Knitz had 13, and Kaiser Knitz, his brother, and Keppel Adolf each had 11. Descartes scored 13 points, hitting 3 three-pointers for Hutchison Trinity. Salina Sacred Heart 65, Council Grove 48. Southeast Saline 63, Minneapolis 25, Wichita Collegiate 53, Rose Hill 42, Wichita Northwest 47, Wichita East 45, as Eli Benning scored 12 points for Northwest. Ishmael Berry scored 14 points, 12 in the first half for East. Here is the upset of the night right here. Wichita Southeast 59, Wichita Heights 58. Anthony Granger scored 17 to lead Southeast, and Preston Dinn and DJ Brown had 13. Southeast hit 11 of 14 free throws in the final period. TJ Williams led Heights with 20 points. Malachi Wilkins and Jalen Timmons each had 12. Wilkins had 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, and Williams had 8 rebounds, 5 steals. Now we take a look at the girls' score. But what I'm going to do, I am going to pause right here and take a break. And when I come back, we will definitely get you the girls' score right here on the A Train Sports Talk podcast, the state's number one podcast. So don't you go nowhere. We will be right back. ¶¶
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the Glass Man?
Hey, Glass Man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the Glass Man.
Hey, Glass Man.
The Glass Man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, Glass Man.
Bring your vehicle to the Glass Man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
You're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. As I always say, it is the state's number one podcast. Now, I don't know if anybody can prove that, just like I don't know if I can prove that. But I would tell you what makes it number one is when you take the time out to listen to this podcast, guess what? It's number one. You know what else makes it number one? The guest that I have on, and I am once again elated to have had both Coach Chadwick of the Lady Panthers down there in Derby, Kansas. Just a hop, skip, and a jump up the road from Wichita, right off of Rock Road. And, of course, out there in Cheney, home of the 3A state champions, none other than Kason Messenger. So, once again, I want to thank them for being on the train ride. So now we're going to give you the scores of the girls' game, and we may have some more scores to give you as there were some other games played the previous nights, and we would just see which direction this train goes from here. But I definitely want to give some love to the high school athletes and those who are going to be going on to the next level as well, too, such as the case with Kason Messenger. Anyway, the girls' scores look like this. Andover 51, Goddard 14, Bueller 50, Augusta 25, Circle 48, Mulvane 32, as Caitlin Votis led four players with nine or more points, hitting five threes for a game high 15 points. Mulvane's Young scored 10. Clearwater 40, Andale 28, as Justine Berlin scored 12, and Allison Clevenger 10 in the win. Conway Springs 56, Belle Plaine 40. Conway Springs was led by Macy Hartman with 13, and Miley Polly 12. Morgan Coaster added 13 rebounds and 5 steals for Conway. Macy Shook scored 12. Hitting three threes, and here's another Macy, only this time it's spelled with a Y. Macy Talbot scored 10 for Belle Plaine. Ella Lawless had 6 rebounds for Belle Plaine. Derby, game I had the pleasure of watching last night. Derby 70, Newton 32, as Derby held a 17-15 lead at the end of the first quarter, but went on an 18-0 run as part of a 29-2 second quarter. 12 Derby players scored, including Destiny Smith, who had 4 three-pointers and finished with 16 points. And let me tell you something. She can stroke the three. Plain and simple. Whenever she's on the court, the game plan, plain and simple, and I know I'm probably saying too much. I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm pretty sure it is in the scouting reports of opposing coaches when they are scouting Derby. They most definitely tell you, you need to keep an eye out on Smith. Whatever her number is, y'all need to watch her, because she can spot up and drain the three at any given time. So she's that good. Trust me, she's a good one. I believe she's on her way to Butler County. So we want to wish her the best of luck. But yeah. The scouting reports probably simply read, watch for number two. Keep someone on number two at all times. Thing though is, in watching that game unfold, even though she's their leader, and you heard what Coach Chadwick had to say about her, you just can't concentrate on her because they have so many weapons. My observation, the way they play defense, when he brings in the second unit, they are just as potent defensively in your face ball hawking as the first unit. And it's a testament to the coach and a testament to the coaching staff because they are teaching these young ladies the game the right way. So if you haven't been to check out a Derby Panthers ladies basketball game, by all means, do so. You will be entertained. You will come away satisfied. You will come away saying, I need to go back and see them again. Kudos to the coach and his coaching staff, and kudos to the players. Moving right along with the scores. Garden Plain 51, Kingman 33, Gossel 46, Harrington 21, Heston 53, Larned 41, Hillsboro 33, Halstead 31, Hutchison 40, Mays 23, as Hutchison's Kaya Smith scored 20, hitting six threes. Wow, someone didn't guard her. Hutchison Central Christian 54, South Barber 23, Capon 51, Bishop Carroll 42, as Capon's McCoy Feister hit four threes and had 18 points, and Lizzie Romer scored 13 points, hitting three three-pointers. Carroll's Avery McCrory had 11 points, Bria Martin 10. Mays South 51, Andover Central 32, McPherson 59, and Winfield 28, Nickerson 41, Pratt 40 in a nail biter, Salina Central 38, Eisenhower 33, trailing Eisenhower 30-25. Salina Central finished the game by scoring 13 of the final 16 points. Salina Central's Sanaya Triplett scored 12. Eisenhower's Carly Dameron had 15. Salina Sacred Heart 42, Council Grove 29. Salina South 54, Campus 28, Smoky Valley 39, Haven 31, Sienna Dufresne scored 18 points for Haven, and Avery Bronner had 13 rebounds, 4 steals. Southeast Saline 42, Minneapolis 40, Lexi Jacobson scored 11 for Southeast Saline, Valley Center 45, Arc City 31, Wellington 71, El Dorado 13. Britt Zika scored 19, Val Norwood 17, and Lindy Barton 16 in the win. Wichita Collegiate 28, Rose Hill 23, Wichita East 53, Wichita Northwest 45. East was led by Halea Davis's 18 points, Anaya Davis 14, Rylan Chandler 11 in the win. Aaliyah Richard scored 17 points, and Aubrey Navarre 10 for Northwest. Wichita Heights women's team, unlike men's team, handled business in knocking off Southeast by the score of 66-23. The Heights was led by Samaya Ellis, who scored 20 points. And what I want to do is I want to take a look at some recap from Thursday's game, as also we want to thank once again for supplying all this good information, Joanna Chadwick, as she is very relentless and hardworking in what she do. Scores from Thursday. The boys' side, Bennington 62, Mountain Ridge 60, as Mountain Ridge overcame a 7-point deficit in the fourth quarter taking a one-point lead with 5.3 seconds remaining. But Bennington's Lawson hit a three at the buzzer for the win. Lawson finished with 39 points. And Bear Mog scored 19 points, hitting 4 three-pointers. And Creighton Knitz scored 18 points. Kenton Galva, 45. Gossel, 38. As N. Collins and W. Collins each scored 16 for Kenton Galva. Gossel's J. Nickel scored 13. And N. Schrag had 12. On the girls' side of things, here go Derby again. They've been very busy this past week, as Coach alluded to. Derby, 52. Hutch, 45. As Michaela Askew, I believe that is their sophomore. Yep, their 6'1 sophomore sensation. She, like Coach says, she is coming to her own, seeing her play last night. And yes, she is that girl. She has that it factor. But Michaela Askew scored 17 points to lead Derby. And teammate Destiny Smith hit 3 three-pointers. Once again, someone didn't keep a man on her. But like I say, you just can't zone in on one person on this Derby team. They can get you from all angles, from all points, and it doesn't matter who's doing it. This team is locked in and focused. I believe they can actually win a state championship. That's my honest opinion. I haven't seen the rest of the state, but my opinion is I think they can win state. This team plays together, and they play basketball the way the game should be played as a team. Anyway, once again, Destiny Smith hit 3 three-pointers for 12 points. Jaden Wilson scored 7 of her 11 points in the final quarter. Grace Posh scored 17 points, including 3 three-pointers. And Kaya Smith had 13 points for Hutchison. Gossel, 40. Kenton Galva, 34. As Chanel led Gossel with 15 points, T. Espinoza scored 22 for Kenton Galva. Haven, 55. Hoisington, 43. Haven's Sienna Dufresne hit 11 of 15 from the field, finishing with the game high 30 points, 6 rebounds. Avery Bronner added 13 rebounds. Southeast Saline, 56. Republic County, 34. Lexi Jacobson scored 16 points to lead Southeast Saline. And Brielle Potosik had 14. Public County's Avery Stent had 14 points. So hopefully that brings you up to date. I could have went back as far as Tuesday, but I didn't want to overdo it. But this has been the Full Court Press on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, with scores both boys and girls here in the South Central Kansas area. Guess what? I know you don't want to hear this, but then again, you're not going to hear this, because guess what? You are going to hear this. It's time to bring this train into the station. But tune back in next week. We're going to have some more of the high school full court press. Also, we're going to give you some information, news around the KCAC, which I wish I could have had the time to do that today, but time will not allow, because there was definitely a game of interest, as Oklahoma Wesleyan, number 14, 4-ranked team in NAIA, took on Southwestern, the Mound Builders, the number 9-ranked team in NAIA. So they are getting ramped up toward getting ready to the road to Hartman, so I would definitely bring you up to speed on that. As of right now, it is time for me to bring this train into the station. I hate to do that, but I have to get out of here. But I hope you have enjoyed today's ride on the train. Once again, special thanks to my guest, Coach Chadwick. And Kason Messenger. Respectively, the Coach's Corner and Player Spotlight. Until the next time, take care of yourself and each other. Be blessed. I'm out of here.